Professor Peter Lynham, are you there?
I am here, yes. How are you going today?
I'm good. I'm good. And yourself? Did you have a nice weekend?
Excellent. Yes, indeed. Yes.
I'm also here and I also had a nice weekend. So we're all on a good run here.
That means that we'll be doing a very mellow talk. That's great.
What is the content? Where are you taking us?
So I just got interested because there's been so much attention given to Muslims in recent months, really. I wondered how the Indian community in New Zealand, and especially the Hindu Indian community, has been faring in these circumstances. Because it is, you know, it's very interesting that, you know, a fair proportion of the Muslim community comes from Pakistan and from that huge South Asian part of the continent.
Right.
And yet all the attention has gone on the Muslim community. I wondered if, in fact, that kind of pressure has been felt by the Hindu community.
Like a discrimination and hatred towards the Hindus?
Yes, yeah. Now, and it's quite strange because, so far as I can see, and I'm be very interested to hear what your listeners think, that it has largely been focused on Muslims, not on Hindus. And that's pretty interesting because in New Zealand...
Wasn't the attack at a mosque? I'm confused.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
But I mean, why does white supremacy not target Hindus?
Oh, right.
Why does it target Muslims? And in New Zealand, actually, the Hindu community is very, very much larger than the Muslim community. So it's now over 2% of the community. So it's roughly double in size, the Muslim community. In Auckland, in particular, I mean, Hindus have been here for a very long time.
Right, right. I guess this is like, you know, I mean, how many Hindu extremists are there? Is that like a thing?
Well,
like,
you might recall that we talked recently about the changing tone in India.
Right.
With the BJP party doing so strongly, and it is tending to become a Hindu nationalist, well, it has been historically a Hindu nationalist party, and so those ideas, in a way, are very strong. But I think there's a difference, and I think it's exploring the difference that's important.
Yeah. But, Peter, if you went back and looked at what's come out of Hollywood and the press and the rhetoric that has come out of the States, it would almost, you know, lead you to the belief that, you know, the Muslims are, you know, the ones that people should fear. It's probably thanks to the US, really, isn't it? This sort of tension toward the Muslims?
Yes, I think you're right. Mm. But it's just an interesting phenomenon because if it actually is predominantly a racist matter, then you would think that Hindus should receive an equal degree of hostility to Muslims. And that makes me think that it isn't just a racial matter.
What do you think it could be then?
Well, I mean, we don't like talking about this, but the issue is that the Islamic world, it's within the Islamic world that strong multinationalist terrorist organizations have been so active.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at with the extremist side of things.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the thing about Hindu extremist groups is that outside of India, they've got really very little place in which they might want to expand.
Right, right.
And I think that's the difference. So if you take, say, Hindus in New Zealand, there have been Hindus in New Zealand for as long as there have been Muslims in New Zealand, all of them brought as labour by various, mostly Indian Army officers who had worked in India back in the 19th century and then bought land in New Zealand to retire on.
And they brought a little crew with them.
And brought the crew with them because it was cheap, you see.
Out of it.
Plus a few of the kind of adventurous types who came on the long journey. And technically, I mean, they were part of the British Empire. And though, in fact, they were bitterly resented in New Zealand, And unlike the Chinese, it was difficult to exclude them. Mm. And so there was a significant minority of Indians here for a long time, and they couldn't be so thoroughly policed as were the Chinese. So there's not quite the same degree of hostility.
Interesting.
Because they all saluted the Queen.
Mm. Peter, that's quite interesting. I'm sort of thinking about a point you raised a couple of seconds ago about the Hindu extremists. Why wouldn't they want to expand outside of India as opposed to the Muslim extremists?
Well, but you see, what would their goals be? Mm. And see, this comes back to the nature of Islam, because Islam is, it's not a religion specifically of one place.
Is it a case that the West isn't sort of mucking around with the Hindus like we are, like, you know, like with America and the oil and all that shit going on?
So maybe the vast scale of India and the fact that India contains essentially the highest proportion of Hindus, and that they look back towards India for the location of their faith, all of that makes a difference.
Right.
Still, it has to be said that there are now big minorities of Indians in all parts of the West. And in some ways, I mean, certainly in Auckland, Hinduism is part of the fabric, because Indians are part of the fabric of Auckland society.
Right.
I mean, it was always very interesting to me when I lived in Palmerston North a long time ago. The dairies were all owned by Europeans, but the moment you came to Auckland,
right,
all the dairies were owned by Indians, and there is a lovely map in the New Zealand Historical Atlas about the Indian dairy owning or small business owning, and how it's almost entirely concentrated in Auckland, because small family businesses where the kids could be put into play made an economic basis.
All right.
For Indian life to flourish. Then, of course, there were also the people who came from Fiji. And there was a long tradition of people coming from Fiji into New Zealand before the coups.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a pretty strong Indian presence, really, from the 60s, I think. But it's 1987 that's the big turning point. So that, whereas for Chinese, it's the events in Hong Kong from the 1990s that leads to a huge rise in the number of Chinese in New Zealand. It's a decade earlier that Indians start coming via Fiji to New Zealand in very large numbers, because they just want to escape from the appalling circumstances of a Fiji for the Fijians coup.
At that time, would they be mostly Hindu?
The Indians in Fiji are relatively mixed. I mean, there are some Christianized groups, there are Muslims among them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they reflect the total proportion of Indians in India, that roughly 80% would be Hindus in Fiji, maybe 10% Christian, 10% Muslims.
Peter, according to the last census data, Hindu was the fastest growing religion in New Zealand. Do you think that will continue to be the trend?
I have to say that figure which you've just got from Wikipedia and which I saw earlier today is a slight twisting of the facts.
Okay.
What it doesn't do is work out the proportion year by year, and it only compares the total bulk of the number of Christians, etc. In fact, it's smaller religious groups that are much, much more rapid in their growth. Jehovah's Witnesses way outpace the growth of Hinduism.
Is it? Go the Joes, get in there.
Yeah, that's right. So people knock on your door.
Is it the door knocking that's doing it? Is that what we attribute to?
Well,
maybe it works. Let's go selling vacuum cleaners once again.
It could be that. There are perhaps some other factors feeding into that. Jehovah's Witnesses have flourished because they found a space for poor people.
Mm.
They absorb people from very rough backgrounds.
So is it a reflection on a society at, like getting poorer, do you think?
Yes. Well, it's a society where the marginalized are increasing.
Oh, right. What a bummer.
So we've got extremes of rich and poor.
Yeah.
And what we often forget, if we're from the upper end, which is tend to improve its wealth, is that the bottom end, which is growing also so rapidly, includes a huge proportion of religion. Most of our religion is now located at the poorest end.
Interesting.
Oh, crazy. And that will just continue to grow, do you think?
I think we should do a deep dive on this, actually.
I think this is a very important trend.
Let's look.
Because, I mean, we are becoming like the world that, well, C.B. Snow and some of those other English socialist novelists described. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. We're just listening.
I was listening intently, Peter.
Yes, there's a strange beeping happening on my phone, but I'll ignore it. I trust you can't hear it. So my argument is that in fact, religion's going to become a reflection of poverty.
Interesting. Okay. I think we should maybe look into this a little bit more next week if we can, Peter.
Yeah, I reckon
But awesome. I like how that conversation kind of cruised. That was very nice. And we'll do it again next week, no doubt.
Very good.
Thanks, mate.
See you.